It's been a great service so far. And before I start, can I welcome another brother visiting from the Southeast, Ivo? Where is Ivo? At the back, Ivo is visiting from the Southeast Church. Amen. It is encouraging today to be able to worship. It's been great. I love Gerald's communion. Alex led us powerfully in prayer. The song leaders have been stellar. In fact, let's give them a round of applause. Amen. And I thank all the guys working in the background, David Dewale, making sure we have the songs correct, Alan Wilson on the PA system at the back. A lot gets in, and of course our ushers who give us the communion and all the rest. So we are very thankful for people who decide to serve in that respect. Of course, last week we had a powerful message from our brother Franklin. I was hoping he would continue Ephesians for today, but I will have to do Ephesians 5 today. Amen. Having said that, I must say Franklin is a man gifted to preach the word. Amen. And last week, remember, he started by talking about our calling. And I think he's got a calling to preach the word. Amen. So Franklin, we've been giving the charge. We'll see you more often. Amen. And the church said amen. So the pressure is on you, bro. Amen. It's good to go through the scriptures. I love the Bible, and whenever you go to the Bible to research something, you get deep new insights. And Ephesians 5, which is one of my favorites, studying it over a month, just the chapter, you get so much out of it. And you think, how do you spend a month looking at 21 verses or 33 verses? In fact, there is much more to learn in the Word of God. And I do pray as we study the Bible today on Ephesians 5, you'll be edified. Indeed, you'll be inspired. And our goal of going on to maturity in Christ, hopefully, this will help us to move forward with that. In fact, let's pray before we get into the Word of God. Mighty God, you are great. Out of nothing, you put the universe into existence. You are mighty indeed. And today, as we meet as your children, to want to know a bit more about you, we pray your spirit will be with us. We pray you soften our hearts, you open our minds, so that we may walk in step with your spirit. We do love you. Be with us as we hear your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please turn to Ephesians 5. It begins, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Amen to that. That is the word of God. I don't know what jumps out of the scriptures to you. In fact, let me have some ideas. What jumps to you as we read Ephesians 5? Any ideas? Yes. God's expectation for us. God's word is very direct on how our lives should be. Not to be carried away by the values of the world, frankly. To imitate God. Amen. The calling of God. As I read the scriptures, Ephesians 5, the more I read Paul's epistles, you respect the man of the depth of his understanding of what God wanted him to do. Of course, when Paul got baptized for 15 years, he was on the desert trying to understand God better. Then he goes to Jerusalem. But I thought this guy took time to understand his creator. Amen. Not that he didn't know God, he knew him in a wrong way. But once Christ came in, he had to realign his whole thinking. It took time. But the things that jump out of Ephesians 5 for me, he begins by saying, be imitators of God. He begins by talking about God. He goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit. He brings us back to the church and Christ. And so in a chapter, one little chapter, you have a huge theme of God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and the church. And then within that, we have the micro sort of life that we are called to. But let's begin with be imitators of God. Now, to imitate God is not easy. You need to begin by knowing God. Amen? Be imitators of God. What would that mean to us, for us to imitate God? Of course, he put it in a context there. But I think the first challenge for us to mature, to go into maturity, is to be able to understand the God we serve. Amen. God is spirit. John 4:24. God is the creator. Out of nothing, he created the whole universe. Amen. The visible and the invisible creation God made. God says, even from eternity, I am he. Isaiah 43. He says, I was before all things. He's infinite. He has no limits. He's eternal. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, the invisible God. He said, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. He said, he's the one who is and who was and who is to come. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That is the God we serve. God is righteous. He said, the heaven declares his righteousness. I'm just telling you the attributes of God. He's unchangeable, for I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3:6. Psalm 102 said, you are the same, and your years will never come to an end. God is transcendent. He's beyond even. Solomon in his prayer said, the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him. That is the God we serve. Amen. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. In Jeremiah, he said, I'm the Lord, the God. of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? God can do all things. Matthew 19 says, with God, all things are possible. Do we know that God? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Even in the fish's belly. You remember Jonah prayed to God and God heard him. David said, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go to the depth of the seas, you are there. If I rise on the wings, you are there. At dawn, you are there. God is everywhere. God is omniscient. He sees all things. The billions of stars that scientists are still trying to discover, the Bible says God knows them by name. The hair on your head right now, I don't have a lot, or my Petrovia. But if you do have a hair, he said he knows every one of them. When they fall, he knows it. God knows all things. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We serve a good God. Amen. The Lord we serve, the Bible says, is loving. And I love that prayer, the communion. God is loving. And I think, in the context of Ephesians, when he said, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love. And I just want us to be reminded of how much God loves us. Mothers do love their children deeply. God says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, he said, even some mothers may abandon their children. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. That's God's promise. His love for us is so deep. As a mother comforts her child, so I comfort you, and you will be comforted. That's a promise from God. Amen. He said, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with songs. God is so loving. Deeply loving. So when Paul says, let's be imitators of God, I think the first challenge unto maturity for us as a church is even to be able to understand the God we serve. If you serve a loving, forgiving, merciful God, how could you not forgive your brother? You understand what I'm saying? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Do you know how much you are loved by God? That is a question Paul was posing to the church in Ephesus. That let's go beyond and understand how much the Lord our God loves us. And he said, when you do that, you'll be able to live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Amen to that. The first thing we need to understand is to really know our God. God, the God we serve is holy. Which is interesting, Paul comes to that point. God is holy. The Bible says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's Isaiah 3. Then Revelation says the same thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. God is set apart. And sin, if you see the way God sees sin, is intense. The Bible says he cannot stand sin. And we need to understand that about God. He said, you do not take pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. Psalm 5 verse 4. Isaiah 59, which we know so well, verse 1 to 3. He said, our iniquity separates us from God. God shuns sin. Amen. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. Habakkuk 1:13. Jesus himself was tempted in every way but was without sin. But that is the God we serve. So when the Bible says be imitators of God, it's a high order. Amen. And Paul goes on to say, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. You cannot know God and be constantly be involved in this sin. You understand what I'm saying? Because God's nature is against sexual morality and impurity and greed. He said, people who live like this will not be part of God's kingdom. You will not be part of God's kingdom. He said, do not be deceived. You know, sometimes we sin and we think, oh, God is so gracious. God is very gracious indeed. But the Bible says, do not be deceived. The people who will not imitate the holiness of God. He said, be holy. Therefore, be holy, for I am holy. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And people will say, oh, that's fine, you are imperfect, we are all sinful. Yes, we are sinful. God is gracious. He knows that He created us sinful. But He still calls us to a life of righteousness. Amen? Be imitators of God. That is our first challenge. To be able to know the God we serve. We need to also understand the faithfulness of God. God is so faithful. I mean, He provides for all our needs. He created us, didn't He? Now, parents, you have a little child. Do you expect that baby to get up in the morning and go to the bathroom? No. Do you expect the baby to get up and go and brush their teeth? No. Do you expect them to feed themselves? You see, that's how God sees us. We are His children. He will take care of all our needs. And indeed, Matthew, let's go to the book of Matthew. Just remind ourselves of what the Bible says. In Matthew 6, God is faithful to us. Amen. So when we are to be imitators of God, first we need to understand God. Therefore, I tell you, Matthew 6:25, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or sow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Bible says God will take care of our needs. Amen? God do take care of our needs. Philippians 4. Let's look at another scripture. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In verse 19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God will meet our needs. Amen. You think you have a need, God knows that, and He's going to meet the needs. Part of the quiet times I do, I tend to listen to a lot of songs nowadays. But not just singing, listening to the songs, but I tend to go to the history of who wrote the song and why they write these songs. And one of the songs that inspired me was, we sang it on Friday actually, was a song written by Thomas Crisom. And this young man, at the age of 16, became a school teacher. In those days, he was born in 1866. So by the age of 16 in 1866 era, you were a scholar to be able to teach. So he was a scholar. And then he got converted when he was in his early 20s. And he wanted to go into the ministry, got married, had family. And then he fell ill. There's no way he could earn enough money ever. Now, the interesting thing is, he died at the age of 94. And when he was 93 years old, he decided to write a thank you poem to God, which became the song we know as Great is Thy Faithfulness. But what he said was, in every time of his life, he didn't have money. He didn't have enough to live on. But in every stage of his life, God provided, he said, thy hands had provided what I had needed. The man was 93. A year later, he died. This is what he wrote. He says, shortly before his death, at the age of 93, Chris Chisholm wrote, my income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years which has followed me until now. But I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given wonderful displays of his providing care, which had filled me with astonishing gratefulness. And that was the result of how great is thy faithfulness. God took care of that man. Just last week, sharing a bit about myself, before my wife went to Nigeria because her dad was very ill, had just come out of coma, and it was challenging. And we look at our bank balance and we project and we think, okay, by the middle of March, God, give me a job by 1st of March at least, you know. And we prayed about it. And then Jackie went off. I had the two girls with me, the agency phone, and so there is an interview. And I said, okay, could you make sure it's 6 p.m. so that somebody can take care of the children and I'll be there. They said, fine, 6 p.m. Thursday. Not the Thursday gone, but the one before. So I took the kids to school, came back about 12 o'clock. I thought, let me check the email, guess where I'm going. I phoned Rosie. I said, Rosie, could you please take care of the girls 4 p.m.? She said, oh, yeah, no problem. So all is arranged. I look at the email and I thought, oh, it's not 6 p.m., it's 3 p.m. This is not good news, okay? I phoned the agent and said, did you make a mistake? They tried to phone. It was 3 p.m. I had to go for this interview for 3 p.m. By the way, I had told the agency, this job is not the area really I'm competent. So I wasn't fired up about it. But you need to go, because if you don't go for the interview, then you are off their books and they need to keep good contact with their clients and all that. Anyway, so I'm thinking, what should I do? And it was Thursday, and I know Thursday is normally staff meeting. So CJ couldn't be home. And I'm thinking, Sherry, a pregnant woman, has two boys. I can't give her two other girls. She would die, you know. And so I was really struggling, thinking, what do I do? And I thought, let me phone CJ at the staff meeting. I'll know exactly when he's getting home, then at least, if he's there. So I phoned him. So staff meeting was canceled. I said, praise God, can I bring the kids? So I took the kids to Sherry and CJ, got to the interview late. I mean, first rule, whenever agencies give you a pack, they said, do not be late. First rule of interview, do not be late. I got there 30 minutes, 40 minutes late. And when I was going, I was phoning to cancel, by the way, and it wouldn't get through. Then another voice is saying, Roger, integrity, you must go. You are late, but you must be there. Better than land lever. Then the other side said, no, this is useless. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You are battling, and you're on the train making phone calls. I got to the interview. I thought, they were not even expecting me, you know. They had to run around, find a room, call people in. I thought, this is a disaster. It's a lost cause. Then in the interview, we got talking and all that. And I thought, this job, yeah. I said to them, look, I have some theory about this. I've done it on a smaller scale, but this is too big and all that. So I came out of the interview. Then the first phone call was Jackie phoning from Nigeria. So how's your day? So I just went for an interview. How was that? I said, it's a disaster. Let's move on to the next thing, you know. You know. And then the second phone call after my conversation with Jackie was the agency. They said, oh, yeah, you just left the interview. I said, yeah, 10 minutes ago. He said, oh, yeah, they want you to start on Monday. I said, are you sure? They said, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, yes, I can start on Monday. Then I thought, no, my wife is in Nigeria. I can't start on Monday. Wait till my wife can get back. But you understand what I'm saying? It's just, it was God who provided. I wasn't expecting it. I thought this is not the thing for me. I was late. I mean, the whole setup was wrong. God provided. Tisom said, all I have needed, your hand had provided. And we need to understand the God we serve. We need to understand the God we serve. He's there to bless us abundantly. And when he says we should imitate him, it's a good thing to imitate our God. Amen. At the moment, I just want us to listen to Christian song for a moment. Let's reflect on God's faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. this, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, not forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto Thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Thine only.
Thank you, Alan. Isn't that awesome? We serve a faithful God. The next point onto maturity, Ephesians 5, we need to understand the Holy Spirit in our life. Verse 8, Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Goes on verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, once we were darkness. As CJ preached in Ephesians 2 before, chapter 2, verse 1, again, he's the same point. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live. But the Bible says, now we have become light. Amen. Satan used to run our lives, which is the truth. If you are not a Christian, I tell you, the Bible says very clearly, Satan rules the world, if you are not a Christian. Ephesians 2 says that, in verse 2, he said, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Satan used to rule. 2 Corinthians 4, you may want to look at that as well. Just look at what Satan could do with us. He said, the God of this age, which is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. But the verse 6 then says, we as Christians say, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen. So because of Christ, we are now saved. Amen. And that means we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs 6, it talks about the ant. And the way it describes the ant is quite interesting. I'm sure you know it, but let me read it to you anyway. The ant is so self-motivated. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, consider its way and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. The ant is self-motivated, does everything orderly, on time. He doesn't need anybody to tell him what to do. Now, let's bring that to our Christian life. The ant operates on some inward instinct that tells him to do things. Do you know what tells us as Christians instinctively to do things? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us to instruct us to do things instinctively. I tell you, you hear the Spirit's voice, but we mostly deny it. When I was on that train to that interview, I believe it was the Spirit saying, you need to be at that interview. Another side was telling me, you are late. This is useless. Phone, cancel. You understand what I'm saying? The Spirit was leading me to that interview. I didn't know that, but I do believe God's Spirit instructs us as Christians every day, and we have choices to make. He said the days are evil. Satan wants to run our life every day, but the Spirit wants to run our life. Amen? The Spirit is running our life. Friday, I came home from work, and as you know, I'm moving, well, because I need to close the old office and all that. And I brought some stuff out of the office in the car. Immediately, I mean, I've had it for a couple of days. Every day, the Spirit says, take those things out of the car. Take those things out of the car. Friday, I went, I'm a bit tired. Let me go and sleep a bit. I woke up 1 a.m., things were still in the car. Go and get it out of the car. 1 a.m., you know, I went back to bed. Got up in the morning, went to the barber. Jackie phoned, said, guess what? Next door neighbor came saying somebody has smashed into the car. And they smashed the back window. I've been warned by the Spirit. I resisted. You see what I'm saying? And I said to Jackie, it's my fault. It was my fault. I bet God warned me. Constantly, even 1 a.m. when I got up, I looked into the window, get down and get those things out of the car. Somebody saw this box, actually thought it was an expensive thing. It's just 25 quid, but the box looks attractive. Broke it and took just that little box and left everything else. I'm thinking, no, you know. The Bible says we should be wise how we live our lives. We shouldn't get drunk on wine. We should let the Spirit run our lives. Amen. As Christians, I think sometimes we don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you hear my daughter pray nowadays, so Maria prays when you say, let's pray for the food. Dear God, thank you for mommy and daddy and I together, no Maria. Thank you for the food. Thank you for your son. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then she finishes and asks me, Daddy, what's the Holy Spirit? We are a bit like that. So what is the Messiah? She's been listening to this song. Thank you, Lord, my Father, for giving us your Son and living the Spirit. So, I play it in the car. So, she thinks, oh, thank you, God, for the Son, and thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit. And she connects this thing. She's so bright. And then she comes and says, what is the Messiah? What is the Son? What is the Holy Spirit? She asks all these questions. But it's a bit like us sometimes. As Christians, I don't think we understand the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I think if we are to be mature, as Christians, we need to understand the power of the Spirit. Okay, it is so important for us to understand that. Ephesians 3 again, what does it say? In verse 14, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Philippians 2 says, Philippians 2, let's go there, verse 13, it said, for it is God who works in you to will and to act. You see that instinct in the hand to do things correctly? It is God who makes us will and to act as Christians. But according to the book of Thessalonians as well as Ephesians, we can quench the Spirit. The Spirit will speak to us and will kill the voice. But unto maturity, the Bible says, you know what? We need to make spiritual choices. Every day when you get up, you have choices to make. It can be spiritual or it can be unspiritual. Look at Galatians, please, chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Do you understand what is going on there? The Spirit and the flesh are fighting. And chapter 6, verse 8, said, the one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Amen. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The Bible says we need to allow the Spirit to run our lives. And we need to understand the power of the Spirit in our lives. Imagine the God who created all things lives in you. Of course, we cannot comprehend it. We don't know how, but he lives in us. And he said, I give you the power to overcome sin. I give you the power to bear fruit. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit. And please, if we are to be mature, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he said we need to be wise. Make use of every opportunity. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will guide you. But we need to understand how the Spirit works. Let's read on verse 19, Ephesians 6. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then it goes to talk about wives and husbands. But again, in the context here, the big picture is Christ and the church. Amen. A Christ who sacrificed his life, laid down his life for the church, will do anything to protect the church. And the church complete surrender to the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says that's what as a church we should do to begin with. I pray as a church we will completely surrender to the will of God in our individual lives. Whatever we do, let Christ be the first. The Spirit wants us. And I think, as I said, we make choices in our life, how we live our life, whether we pray, we read the Bible, whether we give money to God, reaching out, so many things, loving one another. The Spirit will guide us. But we need to understand, go into maturity and understand the power of the Spirit. But importantly, the church and the Christ, we need to understand the dynamics of complete sacrifice and complete surrender. It's a wonderful dynamic. And if we get that right, our marriages will be blossoming. Amen. Imagine husbands sacrificing their lives for their wives and wives complete submission and respect for their husbands. I challenge us to do that. From a man's point of view, I think the women will get to speak for themselves. But I tell you, you can do anything if you feel respected by your wife. If your wife doesn't put you down, you can soar and go anywhere. Amen. Sometimes in the past, Jackie and I will have conversations. I said, Jackie, I don't care if the whole world criticizes me. It doesn't bother me. But when my wife criticizes me, it crushes me. It's simple as that. I don't know how it works. My mother can say whatever, it won't bother me anymore. Now that I'm married. But my wife says something, it bothers me. You see what I'm saying? You get all sort of abuse. But your wife. So wives, let me tell you something. The joy of your husband. Now, it should depend on the Lord, amen. But you can affect it. Amen to that. The men should be like Job and not listen to their wives when they are being critical. But not all of them are that spiritual. Not all of us, let me put myself included. And our wives' comments affects us. Amen. Husbands, our challenge is quite clear. The love of Christ. The servanthood of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. That is what we are called to do. To wash our wives with the word. Amen. And a little insight for wives as well. If you have a husband who is looking for a job or is in a job that is not happy, by definition, probably they are bordering on being depressed. You need to encourage them a great deal. You understand what I'm saying? Don't come home and say, go and get a job. It will not help them. Pray with them, pray for them, be encouraging. Because without the encouragement from the home, they cannot face the world. They will feel completely useless. So, Christ, the word respect there is funny. I was talking to somebody, I'll say this, who used to be in the ministry, in the church. And we're talking about the issue of marriage. And he said to me, which was shocking, he said, when I was in the church, I really never saw women keeping to the standard of complete submission and surrender and respect for their husband. Oh, really? You see what I'm saying? That was his thinking. That's his opinion. But I thought, yeah, it's a tall order to call women to complete surrender and submission and respect for their husbands. Just as it's a tall order for husbands to be led, to lead. Men, by definition, don't want to lead. As I shared with you from beginning, from Adam. Write down Abraham. Go to all the great men of faith. I tell you, it was a struggle for them to lead. But God put them there to lead. God said, men should lead. Not because of our intelligence or eloquence or anything. He said, you must. We want to run away from that. And I suppose that's why God put us there. Christ and the church. So when we think about our relationship, he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we know God, that will happen. When we know God, we'll not slander. We'll rather be full of thanksgiving. When we know the power of the Spirit, we'll not grieve the Spirit. We'll not quench the Spirit. When we understand Christ and the love for the church and the church's submission to Christ, everything will be in order. In Ephesians 5, I think what I get, Paul, the depth of his understanding of the purposes of God, called the church to one understand the God they serve. Number two, to understand the power of the Spirit in their lives. Three, to understand Christ and also the church. Sometimes we come here every Sunday and we think, oh, it's boring. We don't understand the church. If you come to church on Sunday or whatever, sometimes you don't even come thinking, oh, it's another meeting. I tell you right now, you don't understand the church. Christ died for the church. And I tell you, you don't understand it. To you, it's a social meeting. You don't understand the purpose of the kingdom at all. You are far off, but you can repent. Let's pray and have our final song. God, we do thank you so much for the power of your word. Indeed, we have a lot to know. And even when we think we know, the fact is we do not know enough. We are humbled always at the feet of the cross, trying to imitate our God, the life of Christ, and trying to even understand the power of the kingdom. We do thank you. Help us to really move to maturity in Christ, in understanding who the God we serve is, who the Holy Spirit is, the power, the person of the Spirit. And help us to understand the purpose of Christ and his church. We do thank you. We pray this time in Jesus' name. Amen.